May it please the Court, my name is Amy Potter, and I represent the appellee of the United States in this matter. This is a case...
You're the appellant, aren't you, Ms. Lynn?
I apologize.
You're so used to being the appellee that it's...
Yes, I apologize, Your Honor. We are the appellant in this matter. This is a case in which the police officer had reasonable suspicion under the totality of the circumstances to prolong the stop and question the defendant. Specifically, defendant had begun circling the block at 2:45 a.m. in the morning. Officer Blazer, knowing that this was a high-crime area and the M.O. for burglars in the area was to have one person burglarize the home while the other person circled the block waiting, diverted from a 911 call and began following the defendant. At that point, defendant, and these were the two cars on the road, sped through a stop sign or accelerated through a stop sign at that point. At that point, Officer Blazer determined that he was going to make a traffic stop. When he did that, activating his lights and sirens, the defendant failed to stop and instead went for almost two blocks before he stopped. At this point, there were no other cars on the road, and defendant...
This is what time?
This is approximately 2:46 a.m. when he continues and doesn't stop, so about a minute later.
How fast was he driving?
The record reflects around 20 miles per hour, not particularly quickly. There's no question, and as the briefs note, the government has conceded that there was no attempt to elude, but there is still the issue that he didn't stop immediately on the road when there was no one else on the road, and he could have stopped at any point. So Officer Blazer has activated his lights and sirens, and defendant has failed to stop immediately. Once he does stop, defendant throws up his arms, opens the door, throws up his arms, and says, "Don't shoot me." At this point, Officer Blazer has seen someone accelerate through a stop sign, which is unusual, and it indicated to him in his experience that either the defendant was trying to get away from him or simply wasn't paying attention at that point. Then, when he failed to stop immediately, that was also unusual, and Officer Blazer knew in his experience that oftentimes people fail to stop because they're trying to hide something, they're trying to flee, or he had even seen videos of people firing weapons at officers at that rate of speed. And then combined with that, the very aberrant response of "don't shoot me" when he is stopped, the officer had reasonable suspicion at that point that something else was going on. Officer Blazer then took the defendant's license and checked it, decided not to ticket him for the stop sign, returned to the car, and asked the defendant where he was going. At this point, the defendant says he's going to his girlfriend's house. This continued to raise Officer Blazer's suspicion, because going to your girlfriend's house does not typically involve circling the block, running a stop sign. If you're in a familiar area, you typically know where the stop signs are. And it doesn't explain the strange behavior of saying, "Don't shoot me," as soon as the car is stopped. Based on this, Officer Blazer continued to question defendant. Officers are allowed to rely on their experience and training and draw reasonable inferences from the circumstances. Officer Blazer did just that in this circumstance. He was confronted with a series of events which he felt gave him suspicion that some criminal activity was afoot. This is precisely what we allow officers to do in this type of situation. We're in a late night, 2:45 a.m. situation where a defendant has failed to stop for an officer alone. This is precisely what is permitted under the case law. This is
what case law?
United States versus Arvizu from the Supreme Court, United States versus Perez, specifically. United States versus Hill says we review it de novo. This is not like the two cases relied on the district court to, in fact, suppress the evidence, because in United States versus Chavez, Venezuela, and United States versus Jones, in those instances, the officers only had nervousness and an evasive answer to one question in order to justify their reasonable suspicion. What we're relying on here is more.
What do you need? At what point do you need? I'm not sure I understand your argument.
I apologize.
Do they need reasonable suspicion to stop him?
No, Your Honor. He needed reasonable suspicion at the point at which he decided not to ticket him. And the traffic stop had ended. He stopped the defendant for a valid reason. He stopped the defendant for running through a stop sign. That's the valid reason at that point. However, he did continue the stop after the initial traffic violation had ended. At that point, the officer needed reasonable suspicion to continue questioning defendant. And at that point, we rely on the reasonable suspicion that I had just stated the facts in that case.
Well, what then you make it a question of fact as to whether or not he had reasonable suspicion, and I take it the district court thought otherwise.
I think that the district court made all the required findings of fact, and we don't dispute the findings of fact. It's the interpretation of those facts in this case that we dispute. And so we think that that, in fact, lends itself to reasonable suspicion. Under the law, the facts that we have presented, I believe, support a conclusion of reasonable suspicion. We're not disputing the actual findings.
Does he have to have reasonable suspicion of something? I mean, he's not reasonably he doesn't have any reasonable suspicion to think that Mr. Beard is violating the antitrust laws. No. Does he have to have reasonable suspicion he's violating drug laws? Does he have to have reasonable suspicion he's violating something? Or can he just have an intuition that says something funny is going on, and so I'm just going to hold him until I figure out what it is?
The case law says you have to have reasonable suspicion that criminal activity is afoot. In this
case, how specific do you have to be about knowing what the criminal activity is?
I think you do have to have some general suspicion. I don't think you have to know the exact criminal statute that's been violated. In this case, I believe there's reasonable suspicion that he's involved in some sort of burglary activity. He's following the MO of the burglars in the area. He is in a high crime area where there have been lots of burglaries.
You just said that isn't why he was stopped. So I don't see how that would justify carrying on the questioning after he was stopped and they decided that he hadn't committed, they weren't going to ticket him for traffic violations, but that's why he was stopped.
I think he was permitted to stop him for the traffic violation at that point that interceded his evolving suspicion. When he decided not to ticket him, he had the factors he had relied on prior, the factors we have mentioned before, his circling the block and things like that, which supported the conclusion of burglary, but he had also asked him after the stop had ended, right when the stop was ending, where were you going? And he said to see his girlfriend, and that just adds to it and, again, doesn't provide an explanation.
I thought he asked him at some point whether he had something that he shouldn't have or something like that.
He did ask that. He asked that at multiple points during the stop. He asked it when he first took the license, do you have something that you're not supposed to have? And he said no. And then he asked it again as the stop continued. He asked him on a couple
of... How many times does he get to ask the question before the defendant is free to go? And how many times can he hold the defendant before the defendant begins to think that he's not free to go?
I think that the record is clear here that the defendant was not free to go. The officer was still holding on to the defendant's license. And so the government concedes he wasn't free to go at this point. And I don't think he believed he was free to go at this point.
How much time had transpired from when the stop ended to when the search of the car took place?
We know he's in custody approximately 9 minutes after...
That's from the beginning to end.
Well, the entire stop's approximately 13 minutes. Once he decided not to ticket him and return to the car, from that point to the time he's arrested is approximately 9 minutes.
Well, I thought that the defendant, said that they could pat him down.
The defendant did give his consent to allow him to pat him down.
And he got out of the car, and at that point... What happened?
At that point, once they're patting him down, the backup officer is standing sort of catacornering into the car and sees a gun on the floor of the car. At that point, he makes a secret signal to the officer that it's time to arrest the defendant.
For what?
At that point, they're just arresting him. I don't think they've decided on a charge, except they see the gun.
We'll arrest him and figure it out later. Yeah.
Well, once they go back, they know he's a felon, and they charge him with felon in possession. But there's suspicion of a firearm in the car.
They didn't know at the time that they arrested him that he was a felon.
I believe they did from doing the record checks. It's also illegal to carry a handgun in that way in the Portland city limits, and he was in the Portland city limits. It was sort of concealed, so he had it in a way that was easy to grab.
Okay, you have about a minute left.
If the court would allow, I'd reserve that for rebuttal.
Come on. That's the question of the firearm.
co-issue with the detailed comments of the court. And I'll direct the court's attention to page 6 of the excerpt of record. The court, in chronological order, went down, made out exactly what happened. After the team were applying for the back, she found that all the tasks associated with the traffic stop had been completed.
Well, as you point out, there's no dispute about the facts, really. Everybody agrees what they are. The question is, did the district judge come to the right conclusion? The real question is, did the district judge, then taking these undisputed facts, come to the right conclusion? Which is something we reviewed de novo. Now, my question to you is, Why is it unreasonable, given all these suspicious things that happened? It's late at night, the bad area, he intentionally refused to stop for the police officer, whatever else. Why is it unreasonable for the officer to make an inquiry, what are you doing tonight?
They can't point to any particular crime that he was under investigation for. This officer had a hunch. The government says it's better to report it.
Circling around the block if he was just going to see his girlfriend. Why would he be circling around the block if he was going to see his girlfriend?
So he made a thoroughfare and he's one left, another left, and a right. So it's not circling. He's pulled up to his girlfriend's home in the neighborhood. It was a main thoroughfare, one 15 Street Drawing Mall. The district court was familiar with that neighborhood.
Yeah, the cop says, why didn't you stop? And he says, because I was scared.
I was scared because he can't roll down his window and tell the officer what's going on.
Well, you're giving more than what he said. What he said, why didn't you stop? He said, I'm scared. And he didn't embellish it the way you are now. I mean, doesn't the officer have a right to find out why the guy is scared to stop for the police? He comes out of the car with his hands up. Okay, he comes out of the car and he says, don't shoot, my windows won't roll down. He gets out of the car, the officer says to him, why didn't you stop? And his answer was, I was scared. Doesn't the officer, wouldn't it be a legitimate thing, a reasonable thing for the officer to inquire, why were you scared to stop for the police?
The officer has nothing to worry about any question at that point.
Yeah, isn't that a reasonable thing to inquire? Someone intentionally refuses to stop for the police. Isn't it reasonable to make an inquiry? Why?
And he certainly does, and he gets an explanation.
And this detains him an extra couple of minutes, really.
One officer who remains at the vehicle. The other officer goes back and checks what the vehicle comes back. Goes back, and that's the end. That's when this vehicle is allowed to go.
Mr. Needham, you're not challenging then the officer's right to ask him where he's going.
That was done before the traffic stop.
Okay. At what point? At what question has the officer stepped over the line?
When he made
the
determination, and he
wants this bus to be terminated. He's not investigating anything. He wants to go into the engineer, tells him he can't. He tells him that he's going to visit his boss, but not that answer. It doesn't question him anymore about his role. He's centered on going into the repair.
The district court relied on our court's decision in Chavez-Valenzuela. And is that, in your view, is that still good law?
It's good law for the sense that in the time frame of the traffic stop, whatever the reason for completing that task is the time frame when you question the court at that time of the court, the circuit court, there's question about the traffic stop.
Right. But that's no longer the law.
It's no longer the law, but it still holds the same premise that the time frame to complete those tasks cannot be extended unless you have
Well, but you can change the subject.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, in a sense, always prolongs a traffic stop into something that is going other than a traffic stop, doesn't it?
It may prolong it, but not unreasonably. I say where the question is geared at ask for permission to search the car and can't say no, no, no. Before they complete all the tasks, I think that was an unreasonable.
Well, so this wasn't unreasonable? Well, at what point was this stopped? Is this stop prolonged unreasonably?
Once the officer had run, this would be his license and registration, decided not to take it, and went back to the vehicle, and did not have the license. At that point in time, the stop was over, and the vehicle was allowed. As the district court found, the district court reviewed all of Oregon law about the ruling, and that was the case. Nobody was claiming that they had 63 lives.
Was the district court's decision before the Supreme Court's decision in what is it, Mueller?
Manna versus Mueller.
Yeah. Mueller was before that. Okay.
Would that have given the officer the right to search the car? I mean, he asked him for consent, which he refuses. Does he then have reasonable suspicion to search the car?
Thank you.
It's just argued is submitted.